The following lecture by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation, titled Guidance in Religion to Support Life of Opportunity and Progress, was recorded June 18, 1995, in Detroit, Michigan.
Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be on you. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We praise God, the Lord, sustainer of all the worlds. We witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed about 415 years ago or so, is the prophet of Islam, the seal of the prophets, the last prophet. And what follows of that salute, that traditional salute to Muhammad, the messenger of God, upon him be the prayers and the peace. We're happy to be here today. Thank Allah, God that is, for this occasion again here in Detroit, Michigan. We had a wonderful evening and night last night. We enjoyed the program very much. We appreciated the speaker we had. Our featured speaker, Carl Stokes, the son of Lewis Stokes, a very popular and very productive, devoted congressman from Cleveland, Ohio. And some of you might remember his brother, the uncle of our speaker last night, Carl Stokes, who was the mayor of Cleveland at one time. So we are very happy to have them, have that family represented, and to have a member, young member of that family, who is himself a very intelligent and very devoted person to the life of the citizens of, I would say, not only Cleveland, but the life of the citizens in these United States. And we look to him, too, to give us more and more as the years go by. We appreciated our honorees, all of them that were noted last night, for having made a great contribution to this community here in Detroit and to our Muslim community. And most of them I have been seeing myself for a long time, since I was a young man. They have seen me progress from a young minister in my 20s to get in trouble and come back and be established again. And now they see me in this, at this particular time, in my early 60s. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience for my heart and soul, and a good support and boost for my spirit to see them around and looking so youthful and being high-spirited like they were when I was a young man. It hasn't changed. Just as youthful in their souls and hearts and spirit as they were when I was a young man. And most of them don't know that just their wisdom, just their soul's energy, and their personality affected my life. It did. It affected my life. They gave something to my life that I'm very appreciative for. They contributed to my own intelligence, my own thoughtfulness, and I would say my own maturity, my own growing up and maturing in this knowledge and in this religion and in this community. I know you're not aware of all that, but some of us have souls that are more sensitive than others, and I thank God that He created me with a very sensitive soul. I can pick up an atom almost out there in your audience. Yeah, He created me with a very sensitive soul. I've always been this way, and I'm very sensitive to. I can just feel what's in a person. And I take the best that I sense that's there. I let it penetrate me. I let it enter my soul. And that's the way I've been ever since I've known myself. And that has contributed to my growth more than anything else, I think. My father invited me always, along with my other brothers too. He required us even to sit at the table with him when he had officials there at the house for meetings or dinner. Ministers, captains, secretaries, business people, no matter who they were, we were there. We weren't officials, but you saw us at the table. That's because he required us to sit at the table, and he was a very wise man to do that. Because if a man put all of his children, especially his sons, around the table, they have no official position. They're just there just as observers. If he gives them the opportunity to observe him in his work, in his work of relating to his staff and to his staff first people, and discussing problems and discussing interests and making decisions, if he allows his sons to witness all that, eventually he's going to see the son of the sons that will perhaps help him in his work. And he's giving them a chance to qualify to help him in his work. So my father was a very wise man, and I'm indebted to him more than I am to anybody else for what I have been able to devote myself to and accomplish. Now, I didn't say that for anything from you. Believe me. I appreciate, but don't think I'm saying that to get something from you. No, it just was a necessity that I expressed that. I don't want to just put Islam in focus here today. Islam is my religion. Al-Islam is my religion. And it's the religion of most of you here. The religion of most of you up here, all of you. I'm looking at you here, yeah. All of you. Well, that's what they told me. And that's all I have to go on. No, they're good brothers. These are excellent brothers. We got the best. We got the best right up here today. Although I see some of the best right down there too. Yeah. We don't want to just put Islam in focus because it's not just Islam. Islam, as we know Islam, did not exist before 570 or so A.D. That's a long time ago. That's 1400 and some years ago. But this interest in religion, and that if you are aware of it, and if you take it up as your own interest, it makes your life, it has the power to make your life better and more productive. It's something that is an interest that came long from God through inspired men and women, mostly men, long before there was Muhammad the prophet of Islam, long before that event in the peninsula we call Arabia now, the birth of our prophet and the birth of a new society of religious people, the community of Muslims, long before that. And to make a connection, I want to use language from our holy book, the Quran. Allah tells us of the people of the book, the people of the book. And we understand this from our learned leaders in Islam, I mean the international world of Islam, not just here in America. We learned this from them, that the people of the book, from their commentaries also we learned this, their comments on the Quran that exists, can be found with the translation, with the English translation or the Urdu translation or the Chinese translation, whatever the translation may be. And with the translation we find their comments, and they tell us the people of the book are the Jews and the Christians. The Jews and the Christians. And Allah has given us a knowledge of people who have similar concerns, similar interests. Allah wants us to know those who have similar interests. He wants us to know those who were selected by the same God that selected us. God selected the leaders of the Jewish people. Then later he selected the leaders of the Christian people. And lastly, in this progression, he selected the leaders of the Muslim people. And he had an agreement with the people of Israel, the Jewish people. He had an agreement with the people of Aaron, the house of Aaron, the Christian people. And now, since 1400 and some years ago, at least 1400 years ago, God has had an agreement, according to our understanding in the Quran, with us, the Muslims. He had an agreement with us. This is not just a following. This is a following with a job assignment. The Jewish people were not just a following. They were following with a job assignment. And the God of the heavens and the earth, who created everything in the sky and down here, including man, that God gave them that assignment. And according to our holy book, the same God gave the Christians their assignment. The same God has given us our assignment. It's a job, a big job. And we who have understanding of our religion, understanding of the language of God in our holy books, ministers, priests, popes, sheikhs, imams, whatever name we might have, and some ordinary people that don't want any title, but they know sometimes more than the sheikh, more than the imam, more than the priest, and are committed even stronger to the agreement than the priest who wears a title, or the imam who wears a title, or the rabbi who wears a title. Yes. The language is in the New Testament. Put in these words, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. Now we know we don't see Father as, we see Father as a metaphor. Father as a term that needs interpretation, needs to be translated into common language. That's uncommon language that we say God is Father. We know God didn't have a woman and have sex relation and produce us, family of man. We know that's not the way it happened. And if you think that way, you're stupid in hell. You're the dumbest in religion. If you think that way, and it's possible we have one or two in this audience today. I hope not. I've been working on it a long time. But it's still possible. Yeah. No, that's not the way it happened. To say Father, he means the one who generated everything. The one who started life for everybody. And that's true. It's a beautiful metaphor. I have to be about my Father's business. My business is something serious, isn't it? In our holy book, we this. God has revealed. And put it this way. God puts us in a kind of focus, like a screen, on a screen, on a movie screen or something. And God gives our words for us regarding how we, 1400 years ago, saw Muhammad the prophet and responded to him. We have heard a caller calling to faith. Calling to faith. F-A-I-T-H. Calling to faith, and we have believed. And we have believed. Now you know the propagation of Islam is actually called Dawah. And it means to invite. And also, the Islam sometimes is properly identified as the call. The, C-A-L-L. The call. It's the call, it's the invitation. And every service began with the call. Hayya al-salam. Come to prayer. Hayya al-falah. Come to success. Come to success. Come to prayer. Come to success. But what is the Muslim's prayer? Are we saying come to pray like anybody prays? A Buddhist will say come to prayer. A Hindu will say come to prayer. A father who believes in God will tell his family maybe come to prayer. But a mother will say come to prayer. But is our institution of prayer that kind of call to prayer? No. Our call to prayer is a call for us to hear in our ears the Quran, our holy book. Not my mouth, not what I have in my heart, not what's on my mind. No, that's not what we call the people to. We call the people to hear what God said. And not one passage that we call the prayer. The whole book is the prayer. From cover to cover, and every page between the covers, every passage in the between those covers, every line and every word between the two covers is the Muslim prayer. The whole contents is the Muslim prayer. And we are not permitted to pray from our minds, to pray from the top of our heads, or to go and write a prayer and call the Muslims. If you did that, you'd be thrown out. It might be hurt. That would be such a violation that individual might be physically hurt if they would do that. If he would get up there during prayer time and start reciting something from his own thoughts, or something that he wrote or somebody else wrote. It has to be only what God wrote. What God revealed, what God said, what men put in the record, the book, the Quran. That's our prayer. So first we must understand what is the Muslim prayer. Now understand something else about our prayer. Our prayer is the whole Holy Quran, the whole book. That's number one. Now let's understand something else about our prayer. Our prayer is the basis. Our prayer is the foundation of all of our ideas, all of our logic, all of our literature. If it's Islamic, that prayer is the foundation of it. Our prayer is the foundation of our whole life in society. The prayer is the foundation of our whole society. In the early days of Islam, the community of Islam, sciences were developed. It was at a time when science had been eclipsed
had gone down as a sun, and there was darkness on the world, on the earth. It was at a time like that, when science was not appreciated anymore, that the Quran was given to Muhammad, and it was recited and studied, and it, our holy book, our prayer, inspired and produced, guided the thoughts and mind and reasoning and logic of great minds. And they were motivated to go into the earth and go into history and dig up that that had been lost from civilized world, from civilized scientific world of thinkers. Bring it back and give it back to man and to society so that again there will be generated in the world an appreciation for science and works and industry supported by science. Pretty soon there were schools of medicine, astronomy, mathematics, all of this came because the Quran ushered it in. That's our prayer. Our prayer ushered it in. Now let's repeat. Hayya ala salah. Come to prayer. See what you're coming to? Now can't you understand why the next line says come to success? Because that's exactly what you're coming to if you come to our prayer. You're coming to success. Our prayer is what makes possible our success. What God has revealed as guidance for us is so precious that it becomes our prayer. And prayer for us is bigger than just calling on God for something to be on the table today. That you can get out of the garden or out of the forest or out of the river, the stream that runs through the woods, fish, vegetables, fruits and whatever. No, it's not that simple prayer.
Praise be to Allah.
We are invited to venture out into the world. This is not a religion that sees man as a spiritual entity. And sees his material existence as a threat or an evil, a sin. No, it's not. It is a religion that sees man's spiritual life as his most essential life, but for that spiritual life is a job that we must accept to earn favors from our Lord that created the spirit and created the material world. And our job is not in our spirit. Our job is in our personal life and in our family life and in our community life and in our world of mankind. That's where our job is. So that we were rejecting was our job. Religions that give men that kind of perception of their existence, that you are not matter, and matter is your enemy. You are not flesh. Flesh is sin. Drove men to give up sex, to give up marriage, to give up a life of work in the world, and become recluse. Separated from the world, the natural world, living as hermits, a recluse, are spiritual beings that are said to be contaminated, so they stay away from the natural society. They keep themselves protected, sealed off from the natural society. And they speak to us as a kindness. They're charity to us. Low-life creatures. And they're the high, shining divine beings. They're condemned by our religion in a very kind way. They're condemned. Allah says if the earth had been populated by with communities of angels, He would have sent an angel as a messenger to people. We are invited to venture out into the world, into the work field of the world, the work field of life itself. Translated, this is an invitation to us to be attentive and mentally alert as students. Every Muslim in our religion should be dispositioned as a student. First, a believer, a person of faith, and secondly, as a student, searching for your share, for your baggage, of knowledge that God has created for you. Now, we all have different packages.
Yes, sir.
God has created a package for knowledge for me. God knows us individually. And we could be 1 billion or 5 billion or billion on this earth. And He is able to give each one of us the package that's designed especially for you, especially for me. But we all are supposed to be attentive as students to want to know, get a direction. We want to hear in the language of Islam and the teachings a direction for us. Where do I go to find my package? I got a work assignment that not God, the Holy Ghost gave me. God, the Creator, gave me. I got a work assignment. Not in the realm of spirits and angels, in the realm of the material creation. I got a job to do.
Praise be to Allah.
So we have to go out with God's guidance to build up our purpose. God has assigned us here on this earth, and God has given us a purpose, and our purpose is to find that package that will equip us with the tools, the equipment, everything for us to do the job in the world that He assigned to us individually. I got a little boy I brought here today. He's not even started school yet, getting ready to. God gave him an assignment long before I was born. But I pray God he find his package one day. So our ears should be attentive to detect and then select and then go out and employ that we gain, that we selected. Right?
That's right.
I don't know what your business is, but whatever your business is, you got some tools. You have to work with tools. We usually associate tools with those who are doing the jobs of mechanics, you know, whose employment is the employment of mechanics, builders, etc. You know, we associate tools with them. But the one who does accounting, his tool is first of all his knowledge. And then it's his computer, it's his pen, it's his all the notebook, right? Those are his tools. And if he's poor in tools, he's definitely going to be poor in business. Right? So God assigned to us a job in the work field of life itself. Human life and the environment. And if we are poorly equipped, you know we ain't gonna do very much. And the Quran will not only sensitize us for progress, but it will guide us for progress. That's why it is called the guidance. The guidance. Isn't that what burdens most of us that want success and can't have it?
Right.
It's the burden of not knowing how you should go about it.
Right.
So you want to be guided. Oh, I wish I had me a friend. I'm a certified accountant. I wish I had me a friend who had a master's degree in business. Well, I wish I myself had studied law, business law. Maybe I would know how to direct myself to be successful in this business I got. So we hire professional people to guide us, won't we? Pay us big money to guide us. And those that can afford to pay those big bills, they usually realize some big success. But the average Joe Blow or Rashid or Shabazz on Hastings Street or something, he can't even dream of that kind of success. So he's constantly trying to figure out how to sell a sandwich or peddle some socks. And how to get them for nothing or steal them. Because the competition is just too high. It's too heavy. It's too much. Walmart and all those other places. McDonald's. This little sandwich ain't got no chance. In fact, his black people gonna think he's a traitor when he opens up his business. Because his prices are high, his quality is low, his comforts are non-existent. You go to his place, you don't have comfort there. He got a little dingy looking dark place. Unless you came from that kind of environment, you friend didn't walk in his place of business. So he's intimidated, so he'll tell you, you're a fool to come in this neighborhood and think you're going to have success. And I stand here before you right now with all the confidence in the world that we can have life and have it, as the Bible says, more abundantly. As Allah says in the Quran, we can have life and beautiful establishments. Beautiful establishments. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to God, that is. Now I want to continue. We are called to get the tools, get the knowledge, useful knowledge. In our religion, we are told to avoid knowledge that has no use. Avoid knowledge that has no use. You may say, well, What kind of knowledge is that that have no use? The scratches of the earth. I ain't gonna never have to know the scratches of the earth to do anything that I want to do on this earth. And you know that was part of our supreme wisdom, the square inches of the earth. Now my mother wanted a new linoleum on her floor once. And I thought, I said, now I'm going to have to know the dimensions that the linoleum has to be, so I'm going to have to measure this room she wants this linoleum on, floor she wants this linoleum on, to see how many feet, square feet, and what inches and inches are left over. Next. And I thought about the square inches of the earth. And I quickly stopped thinking about it, because I never would have got that floor covered. Thinking about the square inches of the earth. So we are warned to not pursue knowledge that has no use. Guidance. This is guidance.
It is. Yes, sir.
So we should be listening with our ears, very attentive with our intelligence, with our minds, to detect something that we can use. Mm-hmm. What we detect is something belongs in my package. That's part of my package.
Yes, sir.
And then to select it, because it's bringing it into my package. I select it. Now I'm bringing it into my package. Mm-hmm. My package is growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm careful not to select that that has no use. You all may not know it, but this kind of thinking makes a person successful.
Yes, sir.
This is what makes people successful. There was a group of youngsters, they came to the temple once, the brothers went out, and they almost handcuffed them to get them in. They couldn't get them in. But they were some bad youngsters. They belonged to a big, bad gang. So they came, it was about 60 some of them, I think, that night, came to the temple, and after the minister had preached hard to convert them to become followers of Ahmadiyya like Muhammad, to sell papers and fish and whatever, one of the leaders got up and said, "This sounds good. I see how this helps Elijah." Very insulting. He didn't even say Elijah Muhammad, he said Elijah. "I see how this helps Elijah." He said, "But there's a white man that gives us money. What Elijah gonna give us?" And I believe I got a couple of youngsters out there in that audience right now with that attitude. With that mental makeup and that attitude. And I want to tell you that what you need is a change of mind. That's what you need first, to put yourself in a situation so you can have a more productive, a better life. You need first a change of mind. And your mind can change and will change. If the right invitation with the power to affect that change is ever accepted into your ears and begin to work on your thoughts. Yes. It did it to me. It did it to many of us. It went into us and worked on our thoughts and gave us a new mind. And then we felt ourselves strong enough, determined enough to change our environment, to change our personal lives, and to change our environment. Translated, this invitation to Islam, our invitation to take up the responsibility that God assigns to us, each of us, whether Christian, Muslim, Jew, black, white, red, yellow, no, it doesn't matter. God didn't give these assignments out according to our colors, or according to our gender, or according to our religious or spiritual persuasion. No. He gave it out according to our human capacity and potential that he gave us. And he gave us that the same, equally for all of us. The human capacity and the human potential. By potential, we mean what's possible, what you can do if you get the right situation, what you can do if you get the right circumstances.
Yes.
You know, every seed that belongs to some kind of plant life, every seed, that seed seems to be stagnant, ain't no movement for it. It's not growing, it's at a standstill, isn't it?
Yes.
The seed is at a standstill.
Right.
We look at it, it appears dead. We leave it for days, hours, months.
Mm-hmm.
It never moves, it never show any growth. Ain't nothing happening for that seed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can find the right situation,
yes,
if you can find the right circumstances,
yes,
if you can find the right environment, if you can find the right climate, and you put that seed there, boom, that potential starts working. Start pushing up earth.
Yeah.
Wow, to have that thing with those small, fragile limbs,
yeah,
small, fragile arms, pushing earth up. Boom. Sometimes the earth is clustered. And that little fragile thing will push a cluster up,
yeah,
and dump it off its back. I've seen it with my own eyes. My mother taught me how to garden.
Yes,
that's what God want to do for us. God want to bring the dead cells of our minds and put those dead cells in the proper circumstances, in the proper situation. And God got the rain for it. God got the nutrients for it. God got the air for it. God got the fire for it. God has the sun for it. Our life doesn't depend upon that sun out there. And I'm speaking metaphorically. Our life doesn't depend upon the knowledge that the world has, the light that the world has. It doesn't depend upon the world to breathe spirit into us, to motivate us. Our life doesn't depend upon the rain of the world to soak and sensitize us, soften our hardness. No, so we can have life and growth and movement. No. In that prayer is our sun. In that prayer is our water, our rain. In that prayer is all the important elements and all the situation we need as a paradise environment for our growth. Believe it or not, I know what I'm talking about. I have not any inkling of doubt in me. And God is my witness, if not you. Yes, praise be to Allah. It's an invitation to us to prepare ourselves to answer the call. The call to us, not only from God, but the call to us from life itself. From life itself. God doesn't call us directly. God called us from the angel Jibreel. God called us from the Muhammad, the prophet, who was given the revelation from God through Jibreel, Gabriel. God called us from our own souls. God called us from our own human life. God calls us from the light that holds up the world. The light that connects with all other lives. The plant life, the animal life, the human life. And there's a thinking in religion that even this dead world we call dead has a life. Even from the life of this world you call the dead matter. Yes, God is the creator of the life, all of it. And he calls us to come to you. Come get your package. Come pick up your package. Get your equipment. Prepare yourself to go out there and answer the assignment that I gave you. Your job is in the world. And
is a wonderful thing when we began to appreciate every entity, every object, every concept, every figure. We began to appreciate it for more than what we see when we look at its visible appearance. But we began to see its anatomy. But not this anatomy that we see on the biological or the charts when they show us the human anatomy, the heart, lungs, and all these other systems, organs in their systems. Not that anatomy. Every entity, every object, everything God created has a knowledge anatomy. It has a knowledge anatomy. And some organs of knowledge are more important than others. Some are more responsible for the existence of that thing than others. And they work together, these organs of knowledge work together and assist in systems. And when we can see the whole anatomy in a knowledge context for that particular thing, then we can manage that thing. We can manage it with ease. We become scientists of God's creation. Scientists of God's creation. Now you think nobody has that knowledge? Those that you can't compete with has that knowledge. The architects of Western civilization and those that have inherited the responsibility, they have that knowledge. And that's why you can't compete with them. They know how to manage their life and your and the life of your home and the life of your neighborhood and the life of your nation. They know how to manage it and you don't. The first qualification even for just approaching that responsibility is that you have faith in your own ability to manage it. So the biggest job I have is trying to excite your mind to look at what God says is important. If you look at it long enough, you're going to be inspired to believe in it. And if you believe in it, you're going to believe in yourself. Yes. Because God created this external world not for itself, but for yourself. Now, if you could accept that, you could have a change in your life for the better. I don't care how good your life is now, it'll become better. Yes. Oh, I know someone who's in the Islamic studies saying, no, Allah didn't create this universe for these people here. He created this universe for Rajul al-Tamim. Rajul al-Tamim. For the perfect man. And that's only Muhammad. See you later, buddy. If God gives me a model and tell me to emulate that model, I take that to mean that God created me to be that model. Why would he tell me to emulate a model that he didn't create me to be? I'm glad you don't live in savage times anymore. It lose your life. But now we're in position to take life that threatens life. It's a wonderful time. Yes, sir. The tables have turned against the savage in favor of the civilized man. Wonderful time. This is an invitation to us to come to the guidance the Creator provides. The Creator provides. There's a difference. If you're in some religion that focus the concept of God and misses the concept of God as the Creator,
you're in a bad position to make progress in this world. I would like to repeat that again and again and again. If you are in a religion that shows you God, but does not show you God as the creator of everything, you are in a bad position to make progress in this world. Now, I would like to speak to the Muslims just for a minute or a second or so. We are told by the learned in our religion, and we can find out for ourselves by reading the Quran, and especially with the translations and the comments or the commentary, that the first words of the prayer, the first words of the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad was read. God didn't say nothing to Muhammad before he said R-E-A-D. Read. But read how?
Yes.
How should I read? Read in the name of God? No. Read Bismillah? No. Read in the name of your evolver. I'm giving it to you perfectly. Read in the name of your evolver who created you.
Yes.
Read in the name of your evolver who created you. You want to discover yourself? Go to your creator to discover yourself. If I want to discover a car, how it was made, I go to the maker. Read in the name of your evolver who raised you up from nothing to where you are today. Your developer who developed you from a simple germ into the complex human being you are now. Created man from a small life germ and then determined for him stages and evolved him up upon stage after stage until he became Homo erectus, complex erectly standing man. Read in the name of your evolver who created you, created the human being. Read, and your Lord, your evolver, is most generous. Those who run the world, they're selfish, they're stingy, they're cheaters, they'll cheat you out of your inheritance. God created every one of you for the same inheritance, but you are under a power, under a world of cheaters. They are not generous with what I gave them generously. They became selfish after I gave it to them. And then devised the way to keep the world out of it, the world of men and women out of it, and set themselves up as a God in God's stead. This is scripture, not just Quran, but Bible. So why don't you give chapter and verse? I'm not that kind of preacher. That's showing off knowledge. That's all it's for. It's to show off knowledge. Not that the preacher is guilty, but that's what it was devised for, to show off knowledge and to hold the teacher to his master. So his master doesn't have to do a whole lot of work to go check on the student. So you say it, the master has to do it. If the master doesn't tell you to give chapter and verse, if he doesn't tell you that, to check on you, he got to go and look it up himself, because he doesn't remember where it is unless you tell him what chapter and verse. Where is the chapter and verse for it? So that's to insist the oppressor in the order to assist him, so he doesn't have a whole lot of work to do to check on his subjects. I never thought it made sense. Why should I waste time telling you chapter and verse? You ain't gonna even read the Bible most. So what I look like spending 2 hours just getting the chapters and the verses for the speech, for the presentation? No. I thought it was stupid when I was following on Elijah Muhammad and teaching Yaqub's history. I thought that was stupid then. An invitation to us to come to the guidance of the Creator. The guidance that the Creator himself gives us or provides for us. The guidance that brings us to another name of the Quran. The name of the Quran, the prayer of the Muslim, is the guidance. It has many names. It is called the light also. It is called the mercy also. The mercy to humankind. Many wonderful names. It is called the clear argument also. The clear argument. Many things. Many wonderful names. Translated, this invitation to us is an invitation to us to serve the needs of life itself. The needs of life. That's why God put emphasis on needs. Needs. Life is preserved because the needs in the life are taken care of. God gives us, I'm talking about life in the total picture now, and I will go from the total picture to the specific, or to the important concern, human concern, but I'm seeing life in the total picture for this presentation. God wants us to know the needs in the life. Some people, the world influenced them to care more about the luxuries of life than about the needs of life. And eventually, them being more attentive to the luxuries of life caused them to lose the whole life. If you serve the needs of life and then seek to bring luxuries to that life, you will keep the life. But if you lose the appreciation for the needs of life over the luxuries of life, you will lose in time the whole life. Translated, it is a call to us to accept a job of cultivation, a job of production, a job of progress, a job that involves the cultivation of my personal life, the cultivation of my home life, and the cultivation of my neighborhood, the cultivation of the world. See, our job is not finished until the whole world is in good shape. God didn't give a certain person in the Islamic society any more of a job than he gave you, any of you. We all have equal opportunity to come to the call of God, the invitation from God, to look at our work assignment, and open our ears for direction, so we can go pick up our tools, get our package together, and go to work. open to all of us. Now we know the great many are not going to respond. And even out of those that respond to that, most of them will be prepared in their spirit to do no more than just follow others. But you know the nature of life, the nature of the birth of life, the birth of life, the beautiful picture of the birth of life is this bursting forth of millions of germs in hopes that one will pregnate the field. And one in time will pregnate the field, but look how many were first thrown out. Look how many were shot out into the field. But if only one pregnates the field, we have someone else to carry on life. We have an inheritor of life to carry on the life of man, or the life of mankind. A child is born. Now God created nature that way. So what is God telling us? God says, read. And then God says, read again. Say, and your Lord is most generous. Most generous. So some of you all wonder, how come I spend all this time? You know you don't pay me for my time. Right. In fact, you don't pay me for anything, really. You don't. The kind of job that I do, you can't pay me to do it. You don't pay me. You give me. And I love your kindness. I love your charity. That your charitable hearts. I love that. But you don't pay me. Don't ever think that. If I could be paid, I would never be with you. Because somebody had more money than you tried to pay me before I came to you. That's right. They tried to pay me before I came to you. They didn't want me coming to you like this. And they offered me big money not to come to you like this. So if I could have been paid, I would have been paid a long time ago, and you never would have seen me before you like this. I'm not saying this for you to see me as any special guy or nothing. I'm saying this so you don't make mistakes in your dealings with me. That's right. And you make mistakes. Often. Try a little muscle, think they use a little muscle on me occasionally. Ain't no muscle in your body to equal the muscles that's in thousands of dollars, buddy. If that muscle didn't work, don't you try it. Not thousands, now millions. And at that time, it wasn't no few thousand, many thousand was offered to me. If I just give up what I was setting out to do. It was a test from God. Yeah. I thank God I passed it. Now, let's change the tone a bit, just a little bit. There are two things I want to point out to you at the same time here right now at this point. There is no such thing in our religion as original sin. For us, whatever is original is without sin. It's only that's grafted that has been sin. Everything original is without sin. God said that He is the one who originally made everything. And in the Quran and in your Bible, my Christian brothers and sisters, if you're here, God said when He did it, it was all good. He didn't say there was any sin in it. It was all good. And that means also the creation of man. He made man too. And he said it all was good. He made that on the that was to be made on the first day, on the second day, on the third day, on the fourth day, on the fifth day, on the sixth day, and on the seventh day. Man was made on the sixth day. And he made whatever he made for all those days. God says in your Bible it was good. He didn't say sin was in it. But the ignorance of the religious student, or the Bible student, and believe me, the priest, even the Pope, was once a student. I don't care how high a man is in this world, he once wore diapers to catch his drop. And if he didn't, he was dropping them on the floor on the dirt. So understand that. No matter how great a person is in this world, he was at one time a student. If he's an intellectual, if he's a learned person, he was a student. And if he's wise, he's still a student. As a student, you make mistakes. So the mistake is to take the second episode for the creation of Adam as God's work. No, that wasn't God's work. That was your work. That was human work. After God had made the life perfect, then the human mind came into it. Under the influence of a rebel, who's again a big metaphor, Satan, Shaitan, the devil, Iblis, the disobedient angel. Well, actually, he was not an angel in his nature, but he was performing as an angel, as leader of the angels. I think the Bible speaks of him too as Lucifer, that bright star that fell from the heavens. Yes. Yes. So the Genesis first man is the man that God made perfect without fault, without sin, without flaw. And then the second one is made, and he has trouble. He has trouble when his own mind dawns inside of him. When his own mind dawns inside of him, and his mind is formed by the world around him. And it's given in metaphors. I'm not going to go through all of that. His mind is formed by the world around him, and it's not God directly acting on him anymore. God has already done the direct act. He already made him on the sixth day, and all was good. So our defects come because of our own independent thinking. When we begin to think on our own, that's when the defects come. So how can there be original sin, our original flaw or defect in an apparatus or in a machine that happened because I operated it without following the manual?
Right.
There was no manual. And man started to operate on his own.
Yeah. Yes.
And he messed up. Wasn't because his machine, he himself as a machine, was wrong, was defective. It was because he was acting on his own without the guidance of the manual. So God says, oh, you may criticize my man, and you want to criticize me, that I have created something now that's going to make trouble in the earth. I have created something that's going to reflect on me, reflect on my word. That's God. He's speaking to the police, to say, the rebel. But don't make no hasty conclusions.
Yes, sir.
Nothing is wrong with my machine. My machine just started to operate on its own, and it doesn't know that I made a manual for it. I'm going to give it to it in time. But I want my machine to hear how it's possible, click and strict and great and great, because he's trying to operate without my manual. I created him, and he can't operate himself without my manual. I created him with a conscience to know what's happening inside of him. And I want him to wake up and say, hell, I can't do this anymore. Where is my maker? So he told the doctor, it pleased the doctor. He told it pleased the doctor, wait. And time is going to meet up with a word from me.
Yeah.
That's my manual.
Yeah.
So God says, no, he didn't have original sin in him. He slipped from the position that I created him upon. I created him upon a position, and the deceitful one, with the subtle suggestions, caused him to slip off of the position I established him upon. See, but he turned to me in repentance in time, and he met a word from me. And he got right back on the job. This is Islam. And it's really the Bible too, if you understand your own Bible. So what I want to hit upon here is that we do not believe in any concept called original sin. So we don't come into our awareness of our job in the world with the burden on us that I'm created with a big problem to solve it. I'm not good material. I'm defective material. Isn't that something to tell a man to jump into the race and race with the angels and the jinns? But your vehicle is defective. And another thing I want to address at the same time is the idea of the separation of church and state. I know that you have been following me. You know that the job assignment is not just in spiritual matters. So we don't have any idea, we don't have any belief like that, that God created man of spiritual nature and a material nature, and you must keep the two separated. One must rule, the world must rule the world, and the spirit must rule the world of the spirit. And the man of the world must rule the world. No, that's church and state. And believe me, even in this world where that concept has been established, it's not believed. If it was believed, we wouldn't require our presidents that they believe in God and that they acknowledge God when they take their oath. And we wouldn't have an acknowledgement of God in the vision for this life, this democratic life. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created, not accidents, created equally or equal, and endowed not by magic, not by the communist idea, not by their materialist vision of material reality, endowed by their creator with certain rights that can't be taken from them, certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There that document introducing the Constitution of these United States is acknowledging God, not the Holy Ghost, not the God that the heavy meal caused you to see last night in your sleep, but the God that created this material scientific world. Yes. So that's why you have support now for those who say we've gone too far with this idea of the separation of church and state. We've carried it too far. So no matter how much the liberals protest, the die has been set. The wheels are in motion. You can't stop. There's going to be a movement away from extreme liberalism on the part of our society to a more rational and more conservative position. It's going to come whether we like it or not, because we've gone too far off course. We have become drunk, crazy people claiming to believe in freedom. They have forgotten the freedom that we're supposed to have been trying to establish. The real freedom is not freedom to do anything and everything you can imagine. The real freedom is the freedom to release your potential, your spiritual potential, your moral potential, and more importantly, your mental, your rational potential. That's the real freedom. That's what made the country great. It was men who were free thinkers who broke out of the prison of the old world ideologies and became free thinkers using the best of their mental energies to come up with the best ideas to guide and establish our way of life, our country. That was the real freedom. And now that freedom has been taken away by this adulterated freedom, by this silly, crazy, abnormal freedom. That freedom is my right to say what I want to say if I want to say it, no matter who I'm talking to, my mama, my father, my grandfather, my grandparent, doesn't matter. No matter if the president or the priest or the pope or the imam or the rabbi is present, they tell me I'm supposed to speak my mind. Hell, I don't care how old you are and how much credentials you got, man. You don't mean anything now, man. I'm talking. That's the bold stupidity this world has given creatures. And it's time to shut them up.
Yeah. That's right.
And the situation is good in the heavens to bring that about.
Yes, sir.
So we don't have to feel on earth.
Yes,
God doesn't want us to have an order of angels. So what does that mean? If God says in our holy book to us that if your communities had been communities of angels, I would have sent you an angel, not a man. I sent Moses a man. Before him, I sent Abraham a man. Abraham a man, Father Abraham a man. I created not an angel, I created Adam your father first, not a man. And he was the first progenitor, the first one who generated your families and your nations, your societies. I created this world to be a community of people,
right,
not angels. Your order shouldn't be a spiritual order. Your order should be a social order. But you should respect your spiritual life and make that home a home for your spiritual life. But the home ain't gonna be no spiritual home. It's gonna be a social home. And a social home needs men and women to come together in numbers to go out there and cultivate the world, develop the land, throw up structures, to house and protect you, and throw up operations in those structures. to serve your needs and promise you a future of life and life abundantly. Praise be to Allah. Man is a social order. And that's what Allah keeps telling us over and over in the Quran, that He has created everyone in pairs. Zawjain. Dhakar wa untha. Male and female in pairs. That man cannot live by himself. He was not put here to be a male only without a female. Or a female only without a male. And those who go to the spiritual dimension only and are afraid of the social and the material dimension, they put on dresses. And some of them have bloomers up under the dress. And even Brazilians up under the dress. They dynamic lands. They might even try to nurse their babies. Oh, they're so far from reality. Now, we must not confuse the leadership of the community of Muslims with the role of an imam in his mosque. If the imam is a very conscious imam, very studious imam, he's going to go too big for justifying the prayers. Now, if he can't grow no bigger than that just to justify the prayers, you want some leaders outside of that mosque bigger than your imam. Because the assignment, the job assignment in the world is bigger than just reading scriptures and leading people in prayers and going out saying Allahu Akbar and waiting to come back again next week. Praise be to Allah. Now the man that can only do that, he's not even as big as a rooster. He's not. And I think the rooster is a beautiful symbol for the imam. And as a crowing bird, he's a muezzin. But he doesn't just crow. He crows even before you can see the light. He crows. He senses the light coming before we can. And he crows. It's dark and he's telling the hen house, yeah, hey, that light coming. Woo-hoo! Oh, and I seen him crow. I'm glad my mother showed me life when I was a boy. Yeah. He crow, he's a proud, he crow. When he crow, the imagination wings. Some of our fathers crow in the ghetto. But look, he does more than crow. When the day comes and it's bright enough to go out to work, he leads the work crew. He leads the work crew. And if he finds something, he ain't selfish.
That's right.
He finds something, he brings it to the attention of the community. That means I found something useful. Yeah. I found something useful. And they come running. Yeah. All of them get on it, right? And he still ain't through. he's trying to scratch up something else. And occasionally he will find something else. He starts coming again. They come in and see what I found. I found something else useful. And look. He can't even fly over the fence. fence. Most of them can't fly over the fence. So he have lost his interest in being up there in the air. He lost long ago his interest in riding in the air. He's not a spiritual creature anymore. He accepted it, stopped being a spiritual creature long time ago. And he said, I'm going to be a social creature. Uh-huh. I want a social community.
Yeah.
Mm. So believe me, I'm a citizen of these United States. I'm going to obey its laws. And when I feel I can't obey its law, I'm going to try to get support from the best citizens to look at it and see how we can get rid of that law and get a better law. I'm going to work always within the system. I appreciate this democratic system we have. Appreciate it a lot. And I appreciate the foresight of its designers, who foresaw that man may one day even grow too big for the system. And so they provided in there a clause, say, and if come a time, I'm putting it in my words, that the system can't work for you, the visionaries are authorizing the abolishing of the system and the bringing in of a new one. Yeah, so I appreciate a document like that. My loyalty to that document is forever, as long as I live. Because whatever the future may bring, a provision for dealing with that issue or that problem is there in that marvelous document. So that's enough for me. I can work with it from now on. There's even a provision in it for contributions from Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, whatever. There's a provision there if you understand it. So as a Muslim, I have hopes of one day influencing, if not seeing it in my lifetime, influencing the improvement of that doctrine. That will be made the cause of the superior package that God gives the God-fearing. So I do not and will not ever subscribe to the separation of church and state. Subscribe to. Someone quoted me and they say, I prescribe. No, not prescribe to. I don't understand that language. Subscribe to. I will never subscribe to that idea, the separation of church and state. Because to us, that's saying my prayer is to be separated from the state. And I want to prepare myself with my prayer. I want my prayer to prepare me, qualify me for influence, roles in the state. Separated, my prayer revealed to me the state.
That's right.
The state has never revealed to me my prayer. My prayer revealed to me the state. How can I separate that? How can I separate that my prayer revealed from my prayer? It makes no sense at all. Not to me. And believe me, as I said before, this is just a boogeyman in American ideology, American philosophy, political philosophy. It is a boogeyman to frighten away mentally insane religious leaders who will look at the world of man from their world floating up there, suspended up there somewhere, and they will say, this world.